Hey, checking in for a pop culture point of view that is pop culture POV. I have to say it so slowly because, truth be told, the pop stopper on this particular microphone isn't the greatest. So if you ever hear me on past episodes, look at even right there, past episodes, you know that sometimes I'll play with the way I'll state a word that has the inflection that kind of will, I don't know. I guess I'll say once more funds come into the pop culture POV, I'll be able to get a pop stopper or, you know, thingamajig that works a little better. But such is everything. You're always growing. You're always creating a show and making it better and hoping it gets better and all of the things. For me, though, I was kind of thinking, like, most of the time I try to figure out what the perspective of the work is going to be. And it's always that weird thing because so much of it is mindless, specifically in this case, pop culture commentary, which isn't too far away from the original goal. As a kid, you know, I always took to broadcast on any level. I'm talking about if it was Little League, I was not necessarily, you know, obviously you play as a little runt, a little 8 and 9 and 10 year old, but just with the family, if you're there, you have a chance to be the announcer. You know, sixth grade, I was made announcements at the sixth grade graduation, in leadership. All through junior high, I was making announcements at the assemblies. So I've always taken to it, even in high school as well. And the funny thing is, radio was always such a first passion for me. And so I wanted to try to figure out, like, what that definition of where and how I wanted to bring my voice, not like the actual vocal voice, not the actual sound sonically, but just like what it is that I was going to do. In the early 2000s, I got a start in radio, like traditional radio, and it was tons of fun. It was through Clear Channel Los Angeles, which Clear Channel has now turned to iHeart, so you're familiar with iHeart, and we worked at the radio station that was with Kiss FM. So we were of the people who were with a sort of an unknown Ryan Seacrest coming off a, you know, very much known Rick Dees, you know. Later on in my radio career, I did work with Rick Dees at KMBN, which was MS Communications. That was probably 8 years after this initial starting in radio for me. But I say all that to say that it always meant something that was so special. I recently was in a conversation where I was stating why the communication and the communicative language means a lot to me. And sometimes it's more, anytime you talk about something deep, it makes it hard to speak, right? But I would relate it to a writer. A writer sometimes will have their best verge of connection when they can put things on paper and make you receive it in a way. And I'm not saying I'm one of the greats to ever do it. I'm just saying I'm one who always enjoyed it and always liked it. So it always, I mean, this is going to turn into a thank you for listening type of pop culture POV. So you got to say that slowly, right? Pop culture point of view, it's going to be more of a thank you, you know, for the loyal listenership, you know, so to speak. But the reality is, it is something I don't really ever do. I always assess that my job is to do a really great job with the product, and if anyone enjoys it, they enjoy it. That's the end. I never bought into the notion that you got to be overly thankful. You know, like if J-Lo met me, yeah, I like J-Lo, but she doesn't need to thank me because I listen to her music. So I've always kind of put it in that space. I was like, you know what? Anybody who likes my work, they're grown up. They'll be fine. They don't need me to coddle to them. But there are times where you want to stop down and have a moment for yourself even. And that's what this is. This is a time where I'm like really happy of the assemblage of stuff. You know, while it's still new in this particular viewpoint, you know, if you look at it specifically through randomlyronniejr.com and the network itself, you're like, okay, this only started, you know, 2 years ago. Sure, there's a lot of shows, a lot of series. Of course, another random recap. There's Difficult Podcasters. There's, you know, Pop Culture POV. There's Randomly with Ronnie Jr. There's Shaky and RJ. There's Let's Shine a Light on It. Sure, it looks like there's a lot, but it feels like there's a lot from a very short amount of time. And that's not the case. The case is, you know, I started in radio in 2002. And even before that, I was doing extra work, or as I like to say, background talent. There's a story behind that. I'll say it another time. Why we call ourselves background talent and not extras. But it was this idea that even though it looks like I'm sort of starting from scratch, that made it hard for me to start from scratch. Because to me, I had already cut my teeth, worked really hard in the industry that did reward me. You know, before, what was it, 3 years of starting in broadcast, I was already hosting live television at Fuse TV. You know, I've been on the TLC network. Like, I've done some things. You know, like I said, worked with Rick Dees, who at the time was a legendary radio personality, still is. And so when I decided to verge away from that career and just focus on, you know, me and my life in general and move to New York City, coming back to broadcast was never anything I wanted to do, unless, and here's where I'll hang my head high and state, unless it was with a big company, you know, because I felt like if you were to see my demos, you would see, okay, he's done some stuff. Whether you like me, that's a whole different conversation. And so it had always been so challenging to say, wait a minute, I'm either going to come into this space, you know, being casted, or I'm going to, I don't need to do it. I've done it for so many years. You know, I've done it for more than 10 years, more than 15 years. I'm cool to move on. And then things change so much within life and situation, environment, living situations, that there was a gravitational pull for me to come back. Yes, a gravitational pull to come back and work within the space again. But it was something I was really having a hard time with, and still to this day, why I'm even like being bashful. I'm usually, again, a little bit more of a snarky, like, ah, shut up, just deal with it. You know, I want you to be grown up so we don't have to coddle, right? But I am saying thank you in this regard, because I didn't want to come back to this space. I looked at the space, and having coming from traditional media, where you know, I could recall one time I was working for digital with Power 106 years ago, after I was working at KMBN, MS Communications, and we were like in this big, beautiful building. We're working this press event. You know, the network was Fox. It was right when Glee was starting. All of the network heads, or, you know, PR people, were bringing top tier talent to us. So I'm used to that level of broadcast. And so when it comes to this, it just, while it's so fun for a lot of people and it's a new generation, and, you know, the new kids, they you know, the new generation, they're very into streaming and keeping it very real and authentic. I was like, I mean, I'll do a radio show, wake up at 4 a.m. and, you know, get busy for 6 hours and do a really great, compelling show for 6 hours. Like, I can do that. But doing this type of space has always been challenging. And I'm not going to lie to you, I will talk a lot of trash as far as how great I am and how confident I have worked to achieve and worked to be. You know, confidence doesn't come easy. So anyone to judge someone's confidence does need to see that there was a time that, like, I or other people didn't even have an ounce of it. So I come very much in the space of being very confident now, but, you know, it took a long time. And I had the hardest of times saying, I don't want to take all of the skill sets and the different type of work that is traditional media, and I didn't want to really do what it is in the YouTube space, in the podcast space. It didn't feel right to me. So when starting, yeah, you could say it was a humble experience. Like, I had to be sort of checked in a situation, you know, because you do have to start from scratch. But I never was starting from scratch. I just was having to adjust to the new material and the new landscape. And it was not easy at all. And I guess the only real reason I'm stopping down now to say thank you is not like thank you for, you know, engagement or the likes or the, you know, retweets or whatever you do. I don't really care. It's more about just being very excited that we're building together a place for a pop culture conversations that are fun, lighthearted, of course, could be rickety or brazen on occasion, but really would not, you know, hurt a fly kind of a situation. You know, I take very much pride in the fact that there's an antithesis of this, where a lot of people will utilize, you know, little algorithmic words like, you'll never know, I'm going to expose this one, and I know the truth about this and that. And really, content that does well on a YouTube or a podcast search, but isn't really meritable or a good piece of work. You know, back in the day when I started broadcast, I remember, and we all did, like, there was regular traditional media, and then there was the tabloids. And we always took it with a grain of salt. Did we not? We used to take it with a grain of salt. But now, for some reason, we don't take the asinine, just ridiculous stuff with a grain of salt. We sort of put that at the forefront, and it does make it hard to be in a competitive space. And at the same time, I'm also getting older, and we all know a lot of these industries, you know, broadcast, acting, singing, do favor a little bit younger of a person to win. So the fact that I've assembled not just a bunch of different programs on this platform, this Randomly Ronnie Jr. network, and there is a bit of a fan base, like, that's exciting to me, and that's thankful. And I always encourage, like, don't just enjoy this one. This one happens to be Pop Culture POV. Get into Difficult Podcasters. Get into Another Random Recap. Get into Let's Shine a Light on It. Get into Shaky and RJ, because all of them are such different programs. And these are just some of the programs. We've got a couple programs that are already sort of being put together and not even really out at the moment, but they're all, you know, in the same world of RandomlyRonnieJr.com. The other channel itself is YouTube.com/RonnieMediaPage. And the one that I really like, and I want you to like, is Patreon.com/Ronnie, Randomly Ronnie Jr. rather. That one, of course, is 3, 6, 11, and 25, should you want to contribute to the work, you know, and like the work. And I, again, I don't really ever feel the need. You know, Janet Jackson is a queen of for me. It's like, who's your queen? Who's your pop diva, Ronnie? Who do you like? And I'm like, I like Janet, but I don't need Janet to like me. Like, I don't, that notion that, like, we are, you're nothing without your supporters. I mean, you know, Janet's going to be fun whether Ronnie likes her or not, you know, but I am more so, do you get my point? Like, it's not an arrogant comment. It's just to state that I want for my work to be the work is all I care about. And I don't want it to be about anything beyond that. You know, I don't want to try to build this particular program based on making friendships, because that's not, the work is what matters to me. And if you do so happen to enjoy it, thank you. Thank you very much. But the thank you part really on this particular Pop Culture POV, and why I'm saying thank you for listening, is because I know that I'm taking so many different lanes that maybe, you know, when you talk to the people and the really smart people in the world of digital, so many of the things that match to my broadcast integrity don't match. So I'm always put in this position. I'm like, well, at some point, yes, compromise. But at some point, you got to do what you do. Like, what is your race? Run your lane, be in your lane. And it always baffles me that too many people these days are very content with not running their own race, you know, in a way to kind of all do the same thing. So what I love about this particular Pop Culture POV is that when it's growing, and as it's growing, and as it will grow, and as it's successful now, and even more so later, it's done in a way that from the ground up, I vet it as far as, like, people that I work with. You know, I have people air check it. Air checking is a term that we used to use in radio, where you have the programmer, in that case, like, listen to bits and pieces, different bodies of work that you did on the air that specific day, like from a live show. It's a very challenging thing, but it did teach us to be the best broadcasters. And by the way, and I was good back then. You know, there are days where when you mix life amongst it all, it is not as easy to be as good and as on all the time. You know, I'm not a spring chicken anymore. You know, I listened to some of my work back in the day and I was like, oh wow, you really had it going on. And now, like, when life hits, it's so hard to still have that enthusiasm. And so whenever I do talk with somebody young and they are really like, oh, you just got to do this and do that and do this and do that. And I'm like, okay, good. I'm glad that it's working for you. But the long haul is something that I really am very proud to give to. And I know it's funny. The more I talk about, listen, I need you as a broadcaster, as a singer, as an actor, whatever it is, stop trying to fit into a box of being the young talent. If you're over 35, if you're over 40, be proud of that. Wear that with a badge of honor. Too many times people are trying to succeed by not being them. I try to succeed by being exactly me, talking a little bit of SHIT and having such a good heart while doing so. And I feel like, and this is something that I really never get to mention, but a lot of people who are of my age bracket, they are starting to love the charge that I have, that I'm boldly being like very boldly and ambitiously being like, yeah, Like, I'm not trying to fit into what's cool and what's young. I'm only trying to run my own race. And a lot of people have wanted to do that, but you feel like you shouldn't do that because it's not really profitable or doesn't really help out your numbers. I feel like when you make a whole career designed by trying to make numbers, it is to a degree, it's a little similar to, you know, back in the day, you know, let's say you were doing music, like being commercial or being, you know, more independent or underground. Those choices will always happen. But from when I saw them back when I was in my early 20s to the way I see them now, it's just, it's becoming too, it's differentiated a little bit. It's so far apart. It used to be a little bit like, okay, here's a commercial record, but like, you know, for the most part, there's a lot of stuff on my album that does make sense artistically. We're seemingly now to be very focused on the distribution, you know, how it can move around the internet, so much so that we don't care about the work. And that's all I'm saying. It's exciting to me because, again, lots of people, and I've been hired as a consult, for a consult rather, on a podcast recently, and there's a couple others that are bubbling, and I feel like a lot of it is because I speak, you know, not necessarily my truth, but the truth. And I always tell them, like, oh, you know, if you want the quick, rapid, to succeed, go listen to everyone else. But if you want this where you want to succeed but still keep your peace of mind intact and keep it for the long haul, I'm definitely very smart when it comes to this stuff. But, you know, that doesn't really do much because, you know, the generation now is very geared towards being, you know, in your early 20s, doing a couple stupid viral things, and suddenly you have a career and you're making mounds and mounds and mounds of more money than me, Ronnie. But I know what I do, I know what I like, I know who I am, and I know how to make it move. So, you know, I am confident in that. But this is just basically saying what Pop Culture POV is, what it's about. I get frustrated that I don't get to do it as much as I would like to. So this is a little bit of a thank you that, like, oh, wow, you even, like, stuck around to listen to the Pop Culture POV. I love the topics I choose. I try to choose the topics that make sense to me. Obviously, we're going to talk about Housewives stuff or, you know, the Real Housewives, the Bravo series, and J-Lo, and, you know, fun shows on Amazon and Netflix and all these things, and just keep it within my perspective. I've looked to people like Carson Daly was a big broadcast inspiration to me to a degree. So was Andy Cohen. You know, I grew up watching Johnny Carson and the clips of Dickie Cavett and Joan Rivers in the talk show space was, albeit 1 year, was so good. Arsenio Hall, when Arsenio was having his run, like, I was a teenager, like, we remember those moments. And they were slow and they were composed, you know, they weren't what they are now. And I of course understand we have to evolve and change, but they weren't what they are now in the vibe of, like, you know, they're very staccato-y where everything has to be like tick, 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 tick. Like, you know, just got to be like nonstop action. I sort of push back a lot of times when people say, well, Ronnie, you know, and I've worked for all the companies, you know, I've worked for Complex. I've worked for VH1 within Revolver Podcast. We work for the podcast division. I've worked all these jobs, and it's always as if people are telling me things I don't know. Oh, well, Ronnie, you don't know. You got to worry about the quick attention span. No, you're not teaching me. And I heed your bit of information, but I don't believe it. That's a notion. It's a low attention span. It should be about being compelling, and that's it. The low attention span is just something people started saying, and people started to, like, embrace it, you know. I'll tell you one thing. If you're interesting, someone will listen to you, period, point blank. It's not a low attention span situation. That's a facade. I believe that in my mind. But, you know, in my mind, that's what I think. But again, I should let everyone feel and do what they want to do. This was literally just about, you know, saying this is a really fun place for pop culture commentary. I like what I do. I like the guests that I have on. Obviously, there's been huge gaps in the program, but that's because there's other programs within the umbrella. And if you wanted to support it all, just hit that Patreon, patreon.com/randomlyronniejr. And you, of course, could use this platform to talk in the comments about, like, what pop culture conversations you want to do. I try to stray away from things that are overly dramatic, like the really dark things to, like, you know, sort of ruin people's lives. I'm not really into that at all. I know that does well on the internet for sure, but it ain't for me. You know, I'll make the jabs, I'll make the jokes, you know, but, you know, I gotta keep integrity in the vibe of I don't know. I wish I could describe it better, but I'm just using this time to be open and thankful for your support of Pop Culture POV and all the new contributions. If you see from the channel, there's like a ton of new episodes, and there's a ton of new episodes of Difficult Podcasters and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I hope you vocally like my voice, and I hope this mic is working better than it was before. And boom and boom, thank you very much. I mean, have a good one.